At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
It's so bad. It's so, so bad. It's probably one of the worst I've ever seen, and that's saying a lot.
The comments are horrible. My first mutual says, as a teacher, this would make me want to end it all. The next mutual says, anything but give us classroom time. Another unnamed mutual, oh, you would hate me so much. Our argument would probably end up in a lawsuit.
I think I might know her.
Okay, here we go.
Administrators and principals, do the teachers start acting like students in your PD? Your teachers need what your students need. Professional development should be engaging and regulating. Consider adding rhythm. Encourage staff to get up and stand or color while they listen. Provide brain breaks or even having them get up and dance. NeuroLogic can help support admin with brain-based strategies to encourage your staff. Check out
what they used when they brought out the drum.
Worst day of your life. Like, your fucking kids cried when you dropped them off at some random, like, overpriced daycare, and now you're here for teacher in-service. And some bitch has the audacity to bring out a drum and say, let's add some rhythm to it. That's why I had that wig on when I texted you, because I was playing that.
Okay, we need to do, next episode, we need to do another one of the worst PDs you've ever had, because I need, that's like the Laughology one. There is nothing funnier than what I just watched.
It's, I love how they're just not acknowledging it. Like, when that came across my For You page with like 11 likes and 20 comments, I was like, yes. And like all of your mutuals that commented on it, I think that's because of me. Because when I commented on it, it was only random people. There were just like 12 random teachers being like, I hate this. And I was like, oh, y'all hate this. Wait till you see me hate it. And at first, I really debated posting a stitch with them because I went to their account and a lot of them seem like very nice and well-intended and they're very small. And I'm always very conscious of like if a small person posts a video, me reposting it can bring like a flood of attention that they did not anticipate. So I'm always like conscious of that. And so I almost didn't post mine. And then I was like, wait, they did say that out loud online, and this is a company, not a person. So I actually don't care if they get cyberbullied. Because there's someone in my city that is that same vibe, and I hate him so much, and I always want to post his stuff and say horrible things about him, but he genuinely is just like a father trying to make money and like I don't think wants to hurt anyone, so like I rein it in because it's just like his first and last name, and he like posts his kids and he does these education consulting things and is also a teacher, and I literally hate him so bad. Like every time he posts, I want to just say the meanest things. Like all of his ideas are so genuinely bad, and I want to talk about it, but then I'm like, you know what? He doesn't want all this smoke. Like, it's fine.
Well, that was a treat to begin with.
Unfortunately, that video wasn't a crime, but after we take over the U.S. government, it will be.
It will be punishable.
I had to sign something for work the other day because I had to, like, fill out new HR paperwork. So at the same thing where you're like, I have never committed a federal crime. I have never, like, here are any aliases I've used. Like, just your government shit. It was like, have you ever been a part of an organization dedicated to overthrowing the U.S. government? And I was like, I can firmly say that I have not. And then the part that got me was like, if yes, please list the position you held and what years.
No, you cops.
No, and I was like, I've never been a part of overthrowing the government, but generally speaking, it's less organized than that, I feel. Like, I don't think they have HR. Like, in the organization to overthrow the government, I don't think they really have, like, specific titles. I think they all are just kind of overthrowing.
I'm so confused. Like, do they genuinely think people are going to say yes?
That's what I wonder. I was like, who's saying yes? I guess maybe is it like the Proud Boys or something? I don't know. Because it was also like I had to list. I got like a super speeder one time. So I had to put that on there. I had to put like, you know, my fucking emergency contacts. It was like the just we're getting new HR stuff. So I just had to I filled it out before, but I just had to update all of it. So they made all of us do everything because they were too lazy to, I guess, check what people had already done. So I was like, no, I've never been a part of that organization. I should have put yes and then listed like Daughters of Liberty 1772.
Oh,
see if anyone like called me out on it or even addressed it.
Now that's a good idea.
The fucking FBI comes to my house. It was a joke.
It was a joke, everyone who's listening. Well, speaking of crime, today we are going to talk about some crimes, but like
crime.
We wanted to do a true crime episode that wasn't filled with horrors,
like gore and abuse and like
just a buzzkill at the end of the day. But we wanted to do some fun crime stories.
Yeah. And not even necessarily fun crime, but like solvable crime. You know what I mean? Like once someone gets murdered, even if you find the murderer, they still got murdered. I'm more looking for like classroom out of ratio, like things that we can fix in the here and now.
Yeah, I guess by fun, I just meant light.
Yeah.
A little lighter crime. Light. So true crime light is what we're doing here today.
I feel like this podcast is going to give the same energy as when I'm hanging out with my in-laws who like a lot of them work in schools, but they live in a state that the schools have like funding, or not a state, but like a city where the schools have like funding and it's like good. So they like it's literally some of the best public schools in the United States. And so they ask me, they're like, oh, what do you guys do about XYZ? And I'm like, oh, we don't. And they're like, that's a federal law. And I'm like, I bet you're right. And they're like, so what are you going to do? And I'm like, because I've noticed for some districts, the law is considered the bare minimum. Like they're like, we're always going to make sure we're following the law. Like for them, that's the foundation.
Right.
And then for in a lot of other districts, I think like the ones you and I have worked in, it's more like the law is a goal. That it's like maybe one day we could get to that. Like we all recognize that would be ideal. We are just not there yet.
Right. I mean, we've had legal training, but the lawyer really just comes in and says, here's what grooming is. And here's abuse. You are a mandated reporter and don't do the bad things I told you about and I'll see you later. Like that's pretty much it. Somebody once quoted Ed Code to me. They were like, it's in the Ed Code that we have to say the Pledge of Allegiance every morning. And I'm like, I think you and I teach in very different schools. Nobody ever handed the Ed Code to me, number one, or trained me in it, number two. Number three, we have bigger problems, babe. The Ed Code? Okay. They give us minutes and then they're like, okay, you have instruction that you need to fit in for 60 minutes of ELA every single day and 60 minutes for 9 other subjects as well. Can you manage that? And then you're like, no. And they're like, no, we know. We know you can't.
this like, is trick question.
Trick question. The state says that this is what you have to do, so you're going to have to get real creative with what qualifies as ELA. Because at the end of the day, aren't we reading word problems in math?
What isn't ELA? You know what I mean?
What isn't reading? I mean, social studies and science, while optional, are also ELA. So you can really lump that all in there. I had when I taught third grade, they literally had like the Wonders curriculum for ELA or whatever. And they'd be like, oh, this is our social studies curriculum as well, because there's historical stories in the Wonders book.
Very
and
familiar.
I was like, oh, totally. So, True Crime Light is breaking the Ed Code. Anyways, don't quote me on that. I don't know what's in the fucking Ed Code.
Me either.
Somebody's going to comment and be like, you're breaking the Ed Code. That has everything in it. And I'm going to say, fucking
we're in our houses. It's summer.
I don't even work in the field anymore. So
you're in a prison.
Prison of my own creation, truly. So anyways, let me crack open this email. Are you in there?
Yeah.
All right. You want to get this rocking and rolling?
Oh my God. There's literally so many of them. Okay. So keep in mind, I teach at a Catholic school is the preface message that they gave me. And they sent me a screenshot of someone else's Instagram. I love when we begin
okay
with that. Full, full username and all. This man was hired to teach chemistry. His credentials were that he was a divorce attorney and wrote a book about Michael Jackson. Our honors convocation is mandatory for teachers. He did not show up. Students found a video of him on Twitter at an OnlyFans night at a strip club that night. So I guess not technically illegal, but it led to the unearthing of his true identity as Nuclear Man. He was put on paid leave and then let go. The salutatorium quoted him in his speech at graduation. The principal loses her mind if anyone mentions his name.
Oh my God, he's you in Florida.
I guess not technically illegal to skip the honors convocation for the OnlyFans night at a strip club and then post videos of you there on Twitter. I guess technically that's not illegal, but I think it is a crime.
It's a we are a judge and jury, and we are convicting this man with a crime because, oh my God, I love that they gave you the screenshot of his Instagram, and they were like, this is the man.
Let me pull up the Instagram really quick.
Okay.
He had a whole music video to Shake Your Ass. I wish I could find it, but I can't.
What? The one that's like, shake your ass, watch yourself, that one?
Yeah, I think so.
Not to startle you, but I found it.
Shake it fast. Watch yourself. Shake it fast. Show them what you're working with. Shake it fast. Watch yourself. Shake it fast. I come in with a mic in my hand. Let me leave my foot in your rear. Be cool. Don't worry how I'm ripping this stuff. When I'm flipping, when I'm kicking is what I do.
Try to find his Instagram.
I love true crime time.
Oh my God.
Please show me.
I need you to be ready. Like, okay. I fear I don't think you're ready.
Do it again. Play it again. Please. Please send me these.
77 years young. Can you feel the power? And if you truly wanted to skip the honors convocation to go to the OnlyFans night at a strip club, that's fine. Just don't put it on Twitter.
Right.
My admin specifically hosts a session at the beginning of every school year where they say, if you are going to use your sick days for a vacation, please put it in now so that we can get a sub, and do not post your pictures until you have been back for a few days.
One of the things about somebody that's like this young man, 77 years old, you have not grown up on the internet. You have zero sense of like that. Like, you're not thinking, I can't post a 30 photo album on Facebook the day that I skipped my final, like maybe some of us did in college. You didn't have those lessons to learn the hard way. So you do some insane shit, like go to OnlyFans night and just blast it on the internet.
It's like on live. Hey!
I need to go back to that. I'm gonna go so deep into this Instagram.
It's not good. Like, it's bad.
This is my favorite account on the internet.
Right? Like, he's my Alex Earl, genuinely.
I'm gonna follow him.
Okay, so this is one titled Lighthearted True Crime Story. Longtime listener, first time caller. I'm a former high school teacher, and once upon a time, I taught in a lovely, vibrant Chicago high school. One morning, the staff got a school-wide email from a ninth grade English teacher. I think, name redacted, not me, different. It said, I think, initials used, AP, has a turtle in her pocket. CJ told me that AP has been going to the bathroom often to water the turtle and put it back in her pocket. Help? ? I love this being school-wide. That's exactly what I would do, because literally, what the fuck? Like, everyone needs to know about this immediately. We couldn't demand a student empty their pockets. Oh, at my school, they would have. They literally would have turned that kid's pockets inside out, like, in the main office.
Yeah.
And we couldn't demand a student empty their pockets. It's an insane question to ask if a student in the middle of this giant city somehow procured an illegal turtle. But also, if there was a student who would have had found a turtle and brought it to the school, it definitely would have been this student. I know exactly what she means, where it's like, this is impossible, but if anyone was going to do it, it would be you. It would definitely be you. Word spread. Students from all grade levels are discussing the potential turtle in AP's pocket. We get a second email from the English teacher. Students have gotten back to me now that AP knows the teachers are onto the turtle in her pocket. XR has told me that AP has now placed the turtle in her locker. Keep your eye out, I guess. Question mark. The turtle was initially not found. We all moved on. I thought it was made up. A year later, I'm teaching my 10th grade class and I have AP in the class. A student, DY, is sitting across from AP in the independent study that I was overseeing. DY says to me, "Miss X, did you know that AP brought a turtle to school last year?" AP laughs. "You know what? I totally forgot about that, but I did hear that. It was probably just a rumor, though." "It's real," DY says. "I had to help her dispose of its body from her locker after it died."
Oh my god! What a sad ending!
Oh, it's not over.
Oh!
"There was a dead turtle in AP's locker? For how long?" "I don't know. She got it from the river." Me looking horrified at AP. "What?" "Well, my mom didn't let me take him home," AP says. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is why admin need to spend time in the classroom. Because truly, how could a non-teacher ever understand this scenario?
That is unreal.
And that is a crime. That is animal cruelty. You took an animal out of its natural river habitat and brought it into a school and murdered it. I don't think you did that intentionally as a child. I think they just thought this was gonna go differently than it went, but
yeah. Wow. Well, that is a crime. Thank you for sharing that.
And that's the perfect level of crime we were looking for.
Exactly.
Nailed it.
Wow. Okay, here we go. It says, okay, I've always been very gifted in school, but struggle with neurodivergence and mental health. Me too. This all hit a wall when I got to high school. As a result, my therapist and school admin created a 504 plan for me, and it was very helpful when it was utilized. I was taking AP Lit at the time and had a tough teacher, not only because of material, but because of behavior. I was often cut short on my extra test time or denied access to a separate room. My 504 included an alternate stack of homework I often did not receive. Needless to say, I fell behind in class. When it spiraled to a point where I was in need of a teacher-parent conference because I was in jeopardy of failing, my AP teacher told me he, quote, could not imagine a world where he was willing to administer my accommodations, and alluded that perhaps I was just not focused enough for class. After yikes. A few more weeks, yeah, yikes, it was clear he was not willing to work with me, and I went back to Common Core classes for my grade. His words have rang in my ears anytime I enter or consider entering another academic space, and I often have to remind myself that I am not dumb just because I learn differently. Amen. I have spent most of my school years with incredible nurturing teachers pushing my parents to let me shine intellectually and testing for giftedness and putting me in front of amazing opportunities. And that one class with that one teacher derailed my confidence in a way I never really recovered from. I literally hate that for you. And boy, do I have things to say about this crime. Because I think a lot of teachers that are like very removed from the special education world, if they know about any type of plan, they know about an IEP. They don't necessarily know about a 504, and they probably don't know about a BIP. But the thing about 504s is my brother's on one. He has type 1 diabetes, and he has a 504. And I don't think he would care that I'm saying that. It's fine. He wears a Dexcom in his arm. It's very clear that he has type 1. Although I've recently discovered that people are wearing Dexcoms for, like, diet culture purposes, which is blew my mind.
Wait, are they like not doing anything? Like it's just like on there like a necklace?
So yeah, they track their blood sugar with it to like see if they're spiking, if they're in ketosis, or like if they're having blood sugar spikes or things like that. Like not because they're diabetic, just because they're obsessed with their blood sugar.
Oh, I think I thought that Dexcoms like were putting a medication in you, and they're not. I think it's just
No, there are pumps that work with that to that you can like have pumps put insulin in you, but that's not what Dexcom is. When I had gestational, I wore one. My brother, he had version 5 of the Dexcom or something, maybe it was 6. Anyways, he couldn't use them anymore because his pump is only compatible with the newest Dexcom. So he was like, "Here, sister, would you like my
fucking hand me down Dexcom?"
And I was like, "Yes, I would. Thank you so much." So I was using those, and I'm highly allergic to them. I had a rash for like 2 weeks, and then I had to stop using them. Anyways, that's enough out of me. So the 504 that he has, what happened to you, submitter, is like pretty much exactly what happened to my brother, both in high school and in college. He just had a professor literally like recently say, my brother needed his final to be at a specific time. It did not happen. It wasn't scheduled that way. And he emailed his professor and said, hey, something needs to change with how this is scheduled because of my 504. And in writing, the professor wrote back and said, I don't care if anybody in my class is having a life or death situation. This is when the final is. And there will be no makeups or adjustments to it. And he put it in writing, and my mom...
Say it, forget it, write it, regret it.
My mom read it, and I was, like, giddy. I was like, he put that in writing?
You're like, oh.
I was like, I love when they're stupid. You used your .edu official university email address to say that? I was like, somebody's getting retrained.
Someone's going to a class. For fucking sure.
Enjoy your class, sir. I was like, well, that's illegal. So yeah, these 504s, people really are fast and loose with them. And I'm like, I've had people in my comment sections tell me like, oh, they're not a real plan. And I'm like, oh, you're going to go to a class too. If I can find your LinkedIn.
We're all going to class.
I'll come too. Just to watch. Make sure you're doing good. Yeah, wow. That sucks, dude. I'm sorry I said that to you.
What an unfortunate time to be alive in that. And I hate the process is so fucking degrading and so many people are so uneducated. Like, this is coming soon your way on Teacher Quit Talk. My therapist was like, you're actually going to apply for an accommodation because your brain is not braining the way it needs to. And the way that my school and district handled it, I was like, for sure, you guys, for sure.
That was awful.
It really truly was. Everyone. Right?
They're going to hate it for you, just like I did.
Hate, hate, hate.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, here, let me pull up another one. No crimes in 25 was our department slogan. Our department, yes. Our department head, a retired cop, derogatory, with 1 year of teaching experience, administered the end of year language test for ELLs and swapped the test tickets for two kids with similar names. I'm making up names, but think like Maria versus Mary or Jose versus Josue, like one with a U, one without. He was administering the test to my students while I was a roving monitor to multiple other rooms. During the test, he ripped headphones off their heads and screamed in their faces despite knowing that they had just moved into the country and didn't know what he was saying. When I returned to my classroom, my student rushed towards me and explained in his home language that he had the wrong ticket and tried to tell the teacher, but he didn't believe them. And he even said in English because he knew he didn't understand the man, is no me. So the kid who's like a new English speaker is bringing the ticket to this random man being like, is no me, like this is not me. And the teacher did not believe it. I told my department head about the mistake he made. This is not good. And he said, it doesn't really matter. They probably got the same score anyway. And like, if you've never been a part of English language learner testing, it's not just like, oh, they got an 80 out of 100. It's like, here's how they're doing on speaking, writing, listening. Like, there's a bunch of different subcategories that are actually like very much informative to a teacher. Because let's say I have an English language learner that's doing horrible on listening in English, but they score really high on reading in English. I'm going to provide them more written directions rather than trying to like verbalize directions to them. So like, even if hypothetically this guy's right and these kids are about the same level, it's much more nuanced than that. It's not just like a like overall score.
And if you're not going to get the accommodation that you need, you're literally kind of screwed. How are you going to participate in school?
Yeah, it's
really... And for the coordinator, like the department head, to be the one that's like, oh, it's probably the same. Oh, no.
Not good. Unfortunately, no. It keeps going.
Oh, shit.
Also a COVID era IEP failure. So this is a different story from the same person. I had a 7th grade student move in from another country. She spoke no English at all and was totally blind. I think she means literally, not just like metaphorically. Mm-hmm. They said that since she had just moved to the country, they had to wait 3 years to test her for an IEP because they have to prove any deficiencies that aren't due to language barriers. She had to walk through crowded hallways by herself, not being able to see anything and understand anyone around her. Luckily, some really sweet classmates helped her find her way every day. She was amazing, and I admire her courage so much. She's graduating next year.
That's crazy.
Right?
Because it's... There are some things, like, behaviorally, maybe, like, I could see... 3 years is crazy. But, like, you know, we can make a baby argument for that. But blindness?
Like, and this is why being a teacher is hell. Because you literally just get gaslit where they will... Someone will fully look at you in your face and be like, well, how do we prove the deficiencies about right. a literal blind person? Like, do you think she's fucking faking it? Like, what do you right. mean? How do we prove the deficient? Like, what else is there?
Unreal. And do we not have any kind of test in a different language? Did Google Translate die? Like,
no, they're saying that, like, basically, because I know. I've run into this before, that, like, they, if a kid doesn't speak English, it's assumed that all of their problems are because they don't speak English.
Right. I just feel like we could get a psychologist up in there and figure that out. I just feel like there has to be something else where you can separate the behavior issues from the language or the deficiencies or the learning disability. Like, I feel like you can evaluate a kid for ADHD and separate this fact that they're struggling to acquire language, because as somebody with ADHD, I feel like it would be a bajillion times harder for me if I was unmedicated in a setting where I didn't understand the language or didn't understand it well versus mm-hmm. like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel yeah. like we could separate that. But if you have something like a learning disability and you're not getting the supports that you need for your language acquisition, then your language acquisition is going to go so much slower.
God, things are not good.
No, it's so freaking frustrating. God dang it. Now I'm mad. That was a crime that made me angry. Let's read another one. I love to feel things.
Feeling is good.
Anyways, ooh, here we go. This is another one you know I get mad about. At my last school, I taught second grade. I have since had a baby and quit. Me too, queen. They only had 20 minutes of recess scheduled for the kids. This was scheduled with their specials time. They had 30 minutes for specials and 20 minutes for recess with their specials teacher. However, they never got that time between specials running over and so many behaviors that they simply refused to take them outside. So they would get 5 to 10 minutes of recess sometimes and then other times nothing. In my state, students are required to receive 30 minutes of recess a day. So I reached out to admin with my concerns, and they stated that they were able to get their movement out, quote, during transitions and during our morning meeting, and that the laws were being met. Nothing changed, of course, and things just got worse, but I have my baby after Q2, so it was no longer my problem. I mean, you have to just let go and let God. Sometimes I understand that, but the recess... The recess of it all drives me nuts, because yes, it is a law in some states that you have to have recess, as it should be. And it's a crime to take recess away, if you're wondering. The Geneva Convention also says that you're not allowed to do that.
They told me.
Punishment. Yeah, Geneva called me. But it is usually a group punishment.
Me and Geneva go way back. Y'all don't even know.
No, Geneva and me like this. So anyways, but in California, it's also a law that you have to have 60 minutes of PE instruction a day. And then you have to, at the end of the day, at least this is when I worked in Long Beach, they had me do, you have to fill out a sheet that says that you swear to God that you gave them their PE minutes, and then you have to like sign it and send it in. People were really just fudging that,
I'm sure.
I mean, it's on top of recess, so it's like recess and PE they have to get, and that's why a lot of us ended up having to teach PE, because you do it every single day. My pregnant ass was not doing very effective PE, but they were running. They were my kids. Did I ever tell you about the fact that my kids that beat the shit out of each other, I didn't let them play kickball with a ball for a while. So they were playing kickball with an imaginary ball because they kept kicking it into people's heads.
Perfect.
One of my kids kicked the ball into a teacher's head and gave her a TBI, a traumatic brain injury. So they didn't get the ball. They couldn't play basketball after that. So what was I supposed to do?
The basketball game tomorrow. But they don't.
Do you want me to read another one or do you want to do another one?
Here, you do another one because I did a double.
Okay, perfect. This one says, the 24-25 school year was my second year teaching, but my first full school year. But I was given inclusion 8th grade. They gave me an inclusion teacher who had had issues with all 6 teachers before me, and she got mad at me for doing lesson plans instead of letting her kids help. You just know that that person is like, all these teachers suck. But you know what, baby? When you are the problem 6 teachers in a row, you are the problem.
My department is the department at my school where it's like, oh, this co-teacher has nowhere else to go. Let's bring him here. Like, we are in it because it's, y'all know I love social studies education. So this is not my sentiment, but it's the government's. That, like, no one really gives a fuck about social studies. So, like, no matter what area you're an expert in or certified in, if you, like, can't get along with those people, they're like, just knock them over to social studies. Because we always get tons of people that the math department is like, no. Like, it's a no from us. And the admin are like, let's just send them to social studies. Gosh. Y'all know I love my co-teacher. I've had the same co-teacher the entire time I've taught there. Mm-hmm. She just got promoted, though, so pray for me. Oh. But that's rare. Almost all of my colleagues get a new person every single semester. And, like, the reason why me and her have stayed together is because, like, we've kind of been the only example of, like, effective co-teaching. Mm-hmm. So our direct quote from our old principal, why would I fuck up the one thing going well when she was making our schedules? Because it's like unheard of that me and her have been together for 2 full years. That's 4 semesters, 4 right. different rosters. But we're only together 1 period a day. So okay. It's a lot.
My God. This person's co-teacher sounds like a peach. It says she got mad at me for doing lesson plans instead of letting her help. But they were always shared with her, and she never added differentiation. But the crimes. She did not differentiate, pull kids, follow IEPs, or help in any manner. And the most heinous, she quit 2 months before SOLs. So me, a previously licensed second-year teacher in a school accredited with conditions, taught without ACE for the rest of the school year.
Perfect.
Perfect. Without a special education / inclusion teacher. Summer break is here, and while kids are thrilled to hit pause on school, you might be wondering how to keep their brains engaged without turning your living room into a classroom. Whether your child is catching up, staying sharp, or racing ahead, IXL makes learning a seamless and honestly fun part of your summer. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are already using. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade, and it is proven to boost test scores in almost every state. Personalized, engaging, and designed to actually help kids understand what they're learning, not just memorize it. In our house, we love IXL because it's bite-sized practice that fits into our day. Whether your child needs extra help or just wants a challenge, IXL adapts to their level, personality, and pace so they feel supported and confident. It works for all your kids, too. One subscription covers everything from ABCs to calculus, and it's more affordable than a single hour of tutoring. With built-in explanations, videos, and clear progress tracking, it's trusted by the best. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning and get IXL now. Teacher Quit Talk listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at www.ixl.com/today. Visit www.ixl.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Okay.
Hi, Fraz and Redacted. I don't know if this would work at your. I don't know if this would work for your episode, but when I was a student in high school, it was well known that one of the English teachers, Mr. R, had a wife that left him for another English teacher, Miss G. Ah! Again, not a crime, but I'm here for it. Yeah. The two of them ended up getting married and adopting two kids together. People would say that that's the reason why there were two separate English offices for the English teachers. Not sure if the part about the offices is true, but the English teacher scandal definitely was. Also, a few years after I graduated high school, it was discovered that the assistant principal was caught having an affair with the earth science teacher. Both were married with children. They were quite literally caught by the dad of someone I graduated with, who's a police officer, in an apartment parking lot in a car. The AP does not work there anymore.
God.
Wow.
Yes, not a crime, but a crime.
A crime.
No, I just think people that cheat with their significant others at school are so shitty. Or cheat on their significant others at school with other people that work at the school. Like, extra layers of shitty beyond just the cheating element, you know? Like, you're going to trap your ex with your coworker that you slept with?
Like, it's so small town. Like, you literally couldn't find anyone else. Like, get on Tinder. Like, find someone at, like, an Amazon fulfillment warehouse. I know they lay it down good over there. Like, find someone, like, a garbage man. Or anyone. Like, even the district office would be better.
The district office would be fine. Whatever. Anyways, here we go. True crime. Teacher quit talk. Oh, so this is like juicy, but bad. In my third year teaching, I was employed at a small Title I district teaching at the high school. We were plagued by the normal issues presenting to educators post-COVID. Large class sizes, unqualified teachers and admin, minimal practical discipline for modern teens, parents who lose their mind over literally any accountability for their child. You know, the works. But it all accumulated in what was almost a lawsuit. Early in the year, October through November, three of my kids were arrested for making written threats toward the school. I found out before they were arrested that the written threats included a hit list of several students at the school. Oh my God, we had a hit list situation. I forgot about that. Damn. Wow, that unearthed a memory. Said several months later, in the fourth quarter of school, April, March, several of my students approached me at different times to inform me that there had been a digital threat against me. Dozens of students had been anonymously sent a graphic message about how the sender planned to, oh dear, rape and kill me on the way home from work. It was so graphic and traumatizing to the students that I even had parents calling me and warning me about the message. When I told them that if it was serious, I was sure my admin would tell me about it. Babe, not to laugh at you, but like, whoa. Oh, you were really in it to just be like, you know what?
Lisa, it'll be problem. Fine.
It'll be probably okay. Because my guess is that your admin didn't even know about it. Anyways, continuing. I was told by multiple students and parents that while... that they were telling me personally. Oh, here it is. Because they didn't think admin would tell me. Specifically because admin had not told them that their children had been on the threat list earlier in the school year. I finally approached my admin about it just to inform them of what the school community was saying. And they told me it wasn't true and not to worry about it. A day later. Perfect. Uh-huh. A day later, I got a call from the County Justice Center informing me of a court date for a crime I was a victim of. I was shocked because even if it regarded the recent threat, it had only been a few days and I had not been informed that the case was solved. I asked the caller to clarify what crime, and she informed me that it had to do with threats made in October, November. I was stunned, and through further questioning, I discovered I was on the original hit list from earlier in the year and had never been informed. At this point, I went straight to the superintendent with both concerns and found out that the superintendent himself had made the call not to inform victims of the original threat because it was determined to be, quote, non-credible by the local police department, and he didn't want to risk negative press for the district by telling students, parents, and staff who were victims. Oh my fucking God. I then pressed about the recent threat, specifically about me, that had been reported to me by multiple students and parents, and the superintendent reluctantly admitted that he knew about the threat, but because it was, quote, mainly a sexual assault concern, he didn't feel the need to tell me because, quote, it probably wasn't that big of a deal.
Oh, perfect.
Okay. Continuing, unfortunately, it says, after doing my own investigation, I found out that one of my APs had been temporarily suspended in lieu of an obstructing justice charge because she had refused to disclose relevant details to police about one of my cases specifically. If I was this submitter and this was going on and it turns out everybody fucking knew about it but me, I'm sorry. What?
That's a lot.
Okay, I gotta keep going. I need to know what happens. It says, I also found out from the local justice department that they had been assured by my school administration that all affected parties of any crimes committed during the school year would be promptly informed by school administration. However, by this point in time, I had already signed my contract for the next school year and couldn't leave the district without jeopardizing my teaching license, so I was stuck there for another year. Okay.
They really use our licenses to fucking hold us hostage. Like, it's actually so predatory. Like, when I really read the contract and, like, y'all will learn this soon, but when I, like, really had to, like, call the state, call the district, go through HR, and really learn every single fucking legal detail of what can they do to your license, it's insanely predatory. Like, once you sign that contract, they literally view you as an object that they own.
Literally, they do. Oh, my God. It says, I had a meeting with a few school board members, resulting in them sending me a letter basically begging me not to sue over everything. Lucky for them, I really didn't want to go through the mental and financial strain of a lawsuit. However, I did demand a policy change regarding my situation, and the district gave in to that demand, assuring me of a new policy in place to inform victims of crimes inform victims of crimes committed on campus or in association with the school district. I was pleased with the policy change, especially after seeing it implemented in another incident the next year, and decided not to sue since my real goal was to make sure what happened to me never happened to another teacher in my district. I really questioned my career over this, but decided to stay strictly due to support for my husband and my community. I am grateful for the parents and teachers who brought everything to my attention, and I hope I made a difference for other teachers in my district. Oh my God, you're an angel. If you are still a teacher, just know that you can have an effect on issues in your profession by speaking up without necessarily having to be able to afford a lawyer. Godspeed to you all. You're so much kinder than I am. Wow.
You're so much kinder than I am.
Oh, wow, wow.
Do you want to do one more and I'll read it?
Sure.
And this is going to be a long series. Y'all had a lot to submit. I think we have struck a gold mine here.
Literally.
Like, the people were waiting to release this information.
I cannot believe how many we had. I thought that we had a lot last time for Hater Time. This is crazy.
I think because so many people were like, oh my God, I've been waiting to say something. Yes, like, so many people have things that they, like, they don't want to submit it as a joke because it's literally a crime, but they, right, like, want to talk about it, but then they can't really talk about it on their own pages.
We're here for y'all.
Okay, so, hi, please keep this anonymous, duh. Not sure if this will make it on the pod because it's higher ed rather than elementary, middle, or high school, but the university I used to work at, there was a string of small arsons, trash cans lit on fire, etc., around the campus. It's generally a really safe campus, or at least was at the time, so we were all baffled. It turns out one of the campus police officers was setting them so he could make himself look heroic by being the first to respond to the scene. I wish I had a wittier way to end this story, but that's about par for the course when it comes to the campus police, I think. I linked a news article about it below. Let me pull up in the news article. It says, police officer charged after series of campus arsons. I guess I can say the university. You sent me the article. A University of Maryland, Baltimore County police officer was charged with arson after a series of 4 fires on campus. He was 36. Let me scroll through. It's like boring, boring, boring. Our investigation, boring, 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 boring. And then we started to see consistency where one police officer was responding to each of them. That's the kind of thing that spurred interest and kind of kicked off where we needed to look into this a little bit more. He set 4 total fires. It's a possible there's a vanity or hero type situation. That's hilarious. He's suspended and in a non-officer status, whatever that means.
That is nuts.
At least no one got hurt. At least they were just trash can fires. But like, that goes to show that we put way too much money into police, because you had that much goddamn free time to A, think of this, and then B, do it four times.
You're like, I'm addicted to people loving me.
They were sitting in the little car and they're like, oh, there's just no crime around here. Like, there's, I never get to solve the crimes.
I want the glory.
And like, I do like a small arson better than you calling in like fake bomb threats or something. Like, definitely this one had like the smallest impact on students and their safety. But just the way that you're like, okay, I'm going to set the fucking trash can on fire and everyone's going to be so scared. And then I'm going to drive up with my fire extinguisher. I like, you're not even a firefighter. That's not even your job. Imagine he actually set like 10, but for the other ones, the firefighters got there first.
And that made him so mad. He cried about it.
Fucking firefighters always get there first and put out the fire. We never get to put out fires.
Everybody loves them. Nobody says AFAB.
Because they really are good. Like, they're our best government department, in my opinion.
They are.
They get paid horribly. Did you know that?
Yes, I did, unfortunately. And they give up so much. Like, out here, they have to do, like, when the wildfires happen, they literally have to be like, bye families, and go deploy. It's very, very stressful. They're our heroes. We love them. And now this cop is listening to this podcast and he's like, that was my story. And they're still talking about the firefighters.
Why is it never about me?
In the morning, my trash can's on fire. He rolls up.
Maybe I'll set my trash can on fire just to meet him.
I mean, I think he would really like that. Throw him a bone, you guys. Come on. All right. Well, we love you so much.
That was a good crime time. Keep submitting us your crime. Teacherquittalk@gmail.com for the crime. And
so
again,
far, yeah,
nothing gory.
Mm-mm, please. We endure enough. But so far we've done, you can email us your hater times, your quitting stories, and your whatchamacallits, crime, true crime.
Yep.
All right, well, we love you.
We'll take any of it and all of it.
Mwah. Mwah, bye-bye.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.